This is the first time I'm recording a sermon for Catalyst. I'm not used to it. It's not natural for me, but I'm going to do my best. The title of the sermon is Reality of Spiritual Warfare. Okay, Reality of Spiritual Warfare. And the main text is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the ruler, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. Okay. So this passage gives us a glimpse into the spiritual realm, the heavenly realm. And it says, we, as a Christian, are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting human being, but as a Christian, we need to learn how to fight the spiritual battle against evil ruler, against spiritual kingdom, evil spirit in the spiritual realm. And this battle happens in the heavenly realm, It's not the physical realm, but the realm that you cannot see, the spiritual realm. But a lot of people, when they think about warfare, spiritual warfare, a lot of focus is how the demon could influence us from the outside, on the outside. And like they say, if you touch this, you'll get demonized. If you watch this, you get demonized. If you do this and that, you get demonized. If you eat this, you get demonized. As a Christian, we will face spiritual battle. The devil hates Christians, so the devil will attack us, will tempt us, will lie to us, will try to steal, kill, and even destroy. So as a Christian, we do need to know how to fight the spiritual battle. But when it comes to spiritual battle, again, a lot of people focus on what happens outside of us. They will say, if you do this or outside of us, you'll be demonized, like Eastern mysticism, transcendental meditation. If you play with Ouija board, crystals or incense, if you do yoga or martial arts, because the Eastern mysticism, Eastern influence, you'll get demonized. If you watch this movie, you'll get demonized. If you watch this TV show, you get demonized. If you read this book, you get demonized. If you listen to this music, you get demonized. And so about 20 years ago, as I was learning about deliverance ministry, I went to a seminar on deliverance, and they gave me this booklet. And this one chapter had, in this booklet had all the things that could demonize you, right? As a Christian, that could demonize you. And it had hundreds of things listed. And, it scared me, because I was looking at it and it seemed like everything could demonize you. I didn't want to leave home. Because everything around you could demonize you. And after the seminar, I was afraid of everything around me, what I want to teach you, Catalyst, family, that is spiritual battle happens inside of you, okay? The most important spiritual battle to win is not on the outside, but the inside. Spiritual battle happens within you. Right? It happens in your heart. It happens in your mind, your emotion, your will. Spiritual battle is an attack on your soul. spiritual battle is a battle for your soul. And so what I want to focus on, instead of giving you a list of hundreds of things that you should avoid, I want to list few things that become spiritual battle in your heart, okay, in your heart. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, and do not give the devil a foothold, okay, a foothold. Do not give the devil, meaning in the territory of your heart, do not open the door to the devil. Do not allow him to put his foot into that territory of your heart. Right? The Bible's, you know, is foothold is like an entry point, a door in your heart or life that opens, that is open to the enemy's attack, a crack, you know, in your heart, a target for the enemy. And the first thing is, number one, that could be a foothold in your heart, is fear. Number one, fear. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a emotion of fear. No, it's a spirit of fear. It is a spirit. Right? As a human being, yes, we all get scared. We all get frightened. But you and I need to discern when it is a spiritual attack. There's a spiritual attack of fear. And when there's a spiritual attack of fear, there is an unreasonable fear in your heart. Fear that controls you. Fear you cannot shake no matter what you do. It's an overwhelming fear. It's a fear that will debilitate you. Right? And you need to discern. You need to discern this is a spiritual attack. Okay? There is a spiritual attack. And so, when I am being spiritually attacked by a spirit of fear, I want to run away, I want to hide, or I want to control, I want to dominate, I want to fight, I want to attack. You know, it's like fear, the psychologist says it's a flight or fight response. Understanding spiritual warfare, I am able to discern when I am being attacked by a spirit of fear. So now I don't run away or I don't, you know, I try to not fight or flight. But now, when there is this attack, a spiritual attack, when the spirit of fear attacks me, I go into my spiritual closet and I pray. I pray. And I connect with God and I release my fear. And that's how I overcome the spirit of fear. Number two, a foothold to the enemy into our heart is number two. Number one was fear. Number two, bitterness. Okay? Bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Here it says bitterness causes trouble, what the devil does in our life, and defile many. Instead of God, when there's bitterness in our heart, instead of God's blessing, the opposite happens. There's trouble in our life. Instead of God influencing us, the Bible says bitterness defiles. Okay? It defiles. Defiling is a word to use. Describes the work of the devil. The devil defiles. When you are bitter, the devil influences you, okay? The devil influences you. Instead of fruit of the Holy Spirit, there's bad fruit are produced in your life because of bitterness. The enemy is able to have a foothold in our heart. And so when there's bitterness, when there's bitterness, it is not time to spend your energy getting angry and upset, but a time to spend your time and energy on working on forgiving. Okay? That's the biblical a way of overcoming bitterness, but forgiving. Right? So when there's fear, I pray, and when there's bitterness, I forgive. When there's bitterness in your heart, it's not time to throw stones at other people that hurt you, that the people that hurt you. But look at how much just Jesus forgave you and model Christ and forgive those who hurt you, right? Who hurt you. And when you do that, the foothold of the devil is gone. Okay? It loses its power. Third foothold in your heart. Okay, number one, I said fear. Number two is bitterness. Number three is shame. Okay, number three is shame. Craig Rochelle defines shame as this: shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. I'm gonna share that again. Shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging, that we are unworthy of connection. You know, the Bible says Adam and Eve, they were both naked and felt no shame before they sinned, before the fall. Yeah. Meaning, if they were naked and they felt no shame, there was openness, there was no embarrassment, nothing to hide. They felt no shame. But after the fall, the Bible says that they realized they were naked and they were hit with shame. And what did they do? They hid from God, they ran away from God, and they sewed fig leaves together and made a covering for themselves. Shame makes us hide from God, right? And we try to, when there's shame, and we try to cover our shame by our own effort and power. We try to cover our shame with fig leaves, meaning we try to cover our shame with, you know, latest fashion, maybe money, status, image, material things, and achievements, stuff like that. And but that's not the biblical way. It's not gonna help. It's not gonna overcome the foothold of shame in your heart if you do that. To overcome shame, the Bible says you need to confess your sin, right? Confess your sin, and repent, turn from our sin and run towards God. And shame, you know, when there's shame because of our sin, you confess it and God forgives you, and then you repent. You turn around from the sin and you run toward God. Why do we run toward God? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Right? The work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He overcame shame. He overcame shame, right? So the foothold. Right? I talked about fear, and the way I overcome fear is to go into my spiritual closet and pray. Second foothold is bitterness, and how do I overcome bitterness? The foothold in my heart. I forgive. I forgive those who hurt me. And shame. What do I do with shame? I confess my sin and I repent from my sin. Number four, fourth foothold, open door to the enemy, to your heart, is pride. Okay, pride. James 4, verse 6 says, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." And Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride makes you fall. Right? And pride, the Bible says, God opposes the proud. The Bible says pride goes before destruction. You know, it is bad enough the devil uses pride to hurt you and other people around you. But the Bible says when there is pride, God himself will fight you. Right? With pride, there's no chance that you can win spiritual battle. And how do we overcome pride? It says in James 1, but God shows favor to the humble. Humble yourself. If you're not good at it, you got to really work at it and practice humility, Jesus humility. The fifth thing that opens the door to demonic attack is number five, addiction. Okay, addiction. Addiction is when something controls you. And it could be sex, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be gambling, it could be food, shopping, our phone. Social media and even coffee could cause addiction. And when there's an addiction, it opens the door to a demonic attack. Okay? And so if there's an addiction in your life, please be honest with yourself. What I mean by being honest, maybe you are able to manage it, by yourself, but be honest, can you really manage it? If you can't manage it, it is very important, if there's an addiction that you can't manage, that you get help, seek out professional help or a group that specialize in the addiction that you struggle with, and if you don't get help, eventually that addiction will become a demonic stronghold where the enemy or the demonic could come in to steal and even kill and destroy. That was number five, addiction. Number six is the last one. Number six, this is something that a lot of people in the church has an open door to, and we need to it's a disease of the religious people, right? And number six is self-righteousness. Luke chapter 18 verse 9 says Jesus said they had confidence of their own righteousness. He's talking about the Pharisees, and they looked down on everyone else. Now, what is self-righteousness? To me, self-righteousness is a counterfeit spirituality. It's a counterfeit. When you look at the Pharisee, they had this counterfeit spirituality. That's why Jesus was so harsh toward the Pharisee. It seemed like real spirituality. It seemed like they loved the Word of God. It seemed like they were righteous. It seemed like they were spiritually mature. It seemed like the Pharisees were close to God, that they knew God and had a deep relationship with God. But because of the self-righteousness, it was a counterfeit spirituality. It is a human righteousness and not righteousness to Christ. It is a deceptive form of righteousness that comes through human effort. It glorifies the work of human beings and not the work of Jesus on the cross. It is self-righteous, it's legalistic, and love and acceptance is based on performance. And when there's self-righteousness instead of love, there's a critical heart, judgmental heart. And when there's self-righteousness, it is ungodly. Okay? It is ungodly. It's not from God. It is demonic. It is demonic. And so, like I said, this is a disease of religious people. But we're not called to be religious. Okay? We're not called to be self-righteous. We're not called to be legalistic. But we're called to be healed. We're called to be free. We're called to love. Yeah. I want to encourage you and conclude with an experience I had in Nepal. Nepal is a Hindu country, and so they believe, the people there believe in many different gods, thousands of different gods. And when you walk around the city of Kathmandu and different villages, and if you trek on the mountain, you will just see Buddhist flags everywhere. You will see idol worship everywhere you turn. And you will think, you know, oh wow, you know, the idols and the demonic have so much power over there. But you know, when I was there, you know, I put my faith in Jesus. I love Jesus. I love the people there. I try to keep my heart pure. And you know what? When I evangelized and shared the gospel, people came to the Lord. I prayed for the sick, and people, the sick was healed. I preached, and there was transformation of lives. So I just want to encourage you. The good news is this, that you were, as a Christian, you're born again, and you're born to win the spiritual battle. Yes, the devil isn't afraid of you and me, but he is afraid of who is in you. And that's Jesus Christ. And David, when he faced Goliath, a demonic power, what he said is, I come against you in the name of the Lord. Today, I'm going to defeat you because God's going to hand you over to me. He didn't say tomorrow I'm going to defeat you, but today you will be defeated. And so as a Christian, I just want to remind you, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And now Chia and the worship team will come up and lead you into worship and a time of very powerful ministry. Okay. God bless you. Love you.